It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
We have created you from a single male and female, Adam and Eve, and made you into nations and tribes and communities that you may know each other. Verily, the most honored of you in the sight of God is the one is the most righteous of you. And God has full knowledge and is well acquainted with all things. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ واختلاف ألسنتكم وألوانكم إن في ذلك لآيات للعالمين. And among the signs of God is the creation of heaven and earth, and the variation in your languages and your colors. Verily, in that are signs for those who know.
Well, that was the voice of Imam Mohammed Majid, who is the imam of the All Dulles Area Muslim Society, the Adams Mosque in Northern Virginia. And that was the inaugural celebration of President Donald Trump in the National Cathedral. Just the day before, the president had said that he was pledging to eradicate radical Islamic terrorism from the face of the earth. Meanwhile, 24 hours later, Imam Mohammed Majid delivers his short remarks at the cathedral. And you have to understand that the Dulles Area Muslim Society Mosque is one of the most Sharia-adherent and jihadist in the entire country. This is Sandy Rios with you. We have a very special show today because we want to talk about to what extent has this particular brand, the Muslim Brotherhood, managed to infiltrate in the highest levels of government. How dangerous are things? At what stage do we find ourselves? And how are Christians cooperating with this move to subjugate and dominate the American people with the teaching of Islam? I want to introduce you to this morning a very special guest. His name is Kamal Salim. You may have heard of Kamal because he wrote a book about his life called The Blood of Lambs. It's a great story of his own journey. He was born in a large Sunni Muslim family in the heart of the Middle East and was recruited by the Muslim Brotherhood and also by the PLO to, of all things, come to America and convert Americans to Islam. And somewhere along the way, he met the Lord Jesus. His life was changed. He is now part of established what's called Qum Ministry and speaks around the country and probably around the world about the dangers of Islam, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Kamal.
Good morning, Sister Sandy. It's good to be with you.
Oh, it's great to have you with me. Kamal, I realize that you've told your story a million times, but for our audience this morning, can you briefly just recap bits of what I just said and how it was that you came to Christ?
Yes. So I was born in Beirut, Lebanon, to a Muslim Sunni family, radicalized by my mom at a young age, then recruited by the Muslim Brotherhood, and we joined Fatah at that time, which is, became the PLO later on under Yasser Arafat, went on a journey of war from civilization, jihad, you know, down in Lebanon, you know, trying to establish Islamic State against the Christian in Lebanon, moved into European culture to establish, you know, civilization, jihad in Europe, in the 70s, and then in the 80s, I was commissioned to United States of America by the Muslim Brotherhood and by the Saudi government, and I was sent to United States of America, you know, to establish what's called the stealth jihad, which is civilization jihad in underground mode, which is to establish Islamization of the United States of America, get in a car wreck, one day and met three American men that they are Christians, and start living their home at that time. And I saw my God and their God and their love, the unconditional love of God versus our God, which is very conditional. And I start recognizing the two different gods, that one of them is true God and one is a fake God. And from there, you know, when I start questioning and seeing their lifestyle and how they live their life and how they set the example for me, I came to understand that, you know, this is the true living God. And so when I called on my God, he didn't answer, but God of heaven and earth answered. And when he answered, he changed my life. I gave him my life, and I gave him everything that I am. And then, you know, I called him by name, and he called me by my name. And here I am. We established Kuhn Ministries, which is called Arise. Kuhn means arise, and to wake up the church while there's still time.
Oh, Kamal, that's
and to reach out to Muslims.
That's such a wonderful story. And I have to point out that you are of the subgroup of persons who are in more in danger by the Islamists than even Christians and Jews, because you have converted to serve Jesus Christ. So that puts you in a very important category. And let me just ask you, do you feel much danger living in the United States now?
Well, you know, since we started the ministries, we moved 17 times physically, you know, from place to place, from state to state, because the first time when they sent, you know, four, you know, Pakistanis to take me out, you know, where I was living, you know, after I, you know, released my first book, I knew that my life would never be the same again. So we constantly moved, you know, we just moved again, and we just tried to be ahead of them all the time.
You mentioned, you know, you know that I talk about the whole issue of stealth jihad and the Muslim Brotherhood frequently on my show, but there are always people listening who don't know. And I just want to expand just for a second. There's violent jihad, which we're all familiar with. And then there's stealth underneath. And in the FBI discovered through a complete quirk of fate or the hand of God, the actual plan of action for the written by the Muslim Brotherhood of how they were going to take over the United States. And one of the things they said was they were going to destroy our miserable house from within. Kamal, I'm assuming that was part of your marching orders then when you came here.
Yes, because when I was commissioned to the United States of America, the way it works, you know, America has, you know, sphere of influence, a sphere of power, the making of America. And we understood that the only way that we can direct America is to be on the top of the mountain and the sphere, not under it, you know. So therefore, we have to be embedded in the high places, in the education system, into the government system, into the military system, into the media system, and into the family and religious system, and even the political system on every level. So therefore, what happened? My rank was to infiltrate the jail system, recruit from the jail system to create, you know, a clash of culture, to separate the culture and create a clash. And the other one is to move into universities and establish, you know, confusion among the students to help socializing the United States of America, recruit American so they can fight against America, and also buy the professors, you know, with the Islamic money so they can preach Islamic agenda versus, you know, the American, you know, constitution. And so by doing so, and there are many, many other things that we did, you know, to really create that move, we were able, you know, to really raise a new remnant in America, which is in these people will fight America themselves, which is American professors, American students. They can, the fight in new level.
Yes, and of course, jihad means fight, and that's of course one area of contention by the Muslim apologists who want to say jihad does not mean what we think it means. And I think you've just spelled it out. It is the struggle, the fight to conquer and subdue. And so, Kamal, you know, I'm from the Washington area, and I have to say, just a few years ago, there was a demonstration. I can't recall the exact issue, but it was a demonstration under the Obama administration of something in favor of Islam or against something. And 10,000 Muslims gathered across the street from the White House in the park. And there was one protester that I know of that I read about, maybe a handful, but there was one in particular who was protesting on behalf of Israel. And the park police in Washington had to escort him away from the rally because he was in danger of his life. This was in the heart of our nation. So, Kamal, I think I know the answer to this, but I have to ask you, how successful do you think the Islamists, the Muslim Brotherhood, the stealth jihad army has been in, where are we in terms of their infiltration of this country?
You know, here's the most important, this is a very good question, because what happened is the formula that these people are coming against with is it's a moderate, move, which is we come against Islamists, we come against radical, we don't believe in all this, but yet this is the that is jihad within itself, because Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, says al-harbu khuda, war is a deception. So therefore, what happened is the methodology is, in the old days when they went before kings to deceive the kings, they told them they believe in the same God, the same methodology, the same belief, and so these kings let them in only to trust them, but sooner or later they came and they took over that nation because they trusted these Muslims. The Muslim Brotherhood, like you said, their intention is to destroy the America by the hand of the American people and the Muslim Brotherhood. It was under Bush when it was found, the Holy Land Foundation trial that took place in Dallas, Texas, that their agenda is to take over America and establish Islamic Sharia, which is Islamic constitution laws, and change America from being, radical, Christians to be a Muslim state. So therefore, what happened, they moved with their, in the 1960s, that's when they came to the United States of America to establish this, and they were not found until early 2000s. That's when everything was found and now came to the clear. But after the first administration under Bush condemned them, President Trump, what happened, he came and he championed them and he put them in a White House to the point that he had an envoy of leaders to lead and guide the American government to change the national security, the FBI, the CIA, to change our ways of doing business from day to day, to change the chaplaincy in the United States American military, to change the course of our Christianity in the United States of America by shaming and dishonoring our culture and taking over universities and colleges by the millions of dollars that come in through them, to establish Islamic centers into our culture, to establish Islamic civilization right there on the universities, that nobody can come against Islamization. And they move to the media and they start buying the media by high numbers. Some of the media are on at 55%, unfortunately, from CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, ABC, and TBC, and all these things. They are bought by Prince Talal bin Abdulaziz. So therefore, they are trying to control our way of life, what's coming to our life, from TV to media to knowledges and everything, even the curriculum in our schools. Today, the curriculum is printed by two organization that they own by the Saudi firms, Prince Talal, and they write, the Common Core, they write the curriculum for the school to establish Islamization from the infancy of our children, from grammar school all the way till they graduate, where Islam become part and a fiber of the American civilization and society.
All right,
and
so
nobody will look at...
Yeah, so, well, Kamal, sorry to interrupt you. We just have to take a break, but you have described, by not answering, giving a percentage, you have described pretty much in full what I've seen happening too. And I've also seen at the highest levels of government, even in the conservative movement. It's just an amazing thing, the success that the movement you once belonged to has had. No state has been affected by this any more than the next state we want to talk about. That's Michigan. We'll do that when we return. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Get away.
All right, Sandy Rios, back with you. Well, no, that's not Baghdad. It's not Kabul. It's not any of the. It's not Saudi Arabia. That's the sounds of Dearborn, Michigan. Dearborn, Michigan has become sort of the heart of much of the infiltration in this country. Many states are experiencing incredible growth of Muslim population in their midst. Many of the most conservative states have had just a complete influx. And, of course, it's all part of this overall plan to infiltrate and subjugate and eventually dominate the United States of America. My guests are Kamal Saleem, who is the author of Blood of Lambs, a former Islamist, I'm sure he would say, who came here to participate in that whole mission of overtaking and subjecting the Americans, but converted dramatically to the Lord Jesus. His life changed and is now the founder of Akum Ministries. And his book is called, by the way, Blood of Lambs, and you'll want to get that and read it. But also with me, and by the way, I need to correct something, Kamal, on his behalf. When he was telling the story a few minutes ago about how a president had allowed people inside the White House who changed a policy on terms of our foreign policy, in terms of how we referred to Islam, in terms of the chaplains in the prisons, all of those things, that was Barack Obama, not Donald Trump. And he just misspoke. But that was President Obama who expedited so much of the changes that we're seeing. All right, so let's come back to Dearborn, Michigan. Let's come back to Michigan, because Michigan has become really the hotbed of the Islamist infiltration. Bill Johnson is our guest also. Bill is the founder of American Decency, which at one time was an affiliate of the American Family Association in Michigan, an official affiliation. But, of course, we are still very strong friends. You hear him every morning on my show with his American Decency Minute. He does a great job, and he's a warrior on this cause and many others in the state of Michigan. Bill, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be with you, Sandy.
All right, so Bill, how would you describe, as you look at your own state, before you get to Dearborn, how would you describe the change in landscape that you've seen over the past 20 years or so?
Well, Sandy, we're on the other side of the state, of course, on the west side, and more in the Grand Rapids area, of course. My familiarity is much greater with this part of the country. But I certainly am following the whole nation and try to continue to be so much aware of the varieties of trends. But one of the ones that one of the areas that is most concerning to me, of course, has to do with the portion of the state where I primarily reside and live. And so one of the areas that has been, I would say, most shocking to me has been in relationship to interfaith dialogue. A few years ago, I would have known nothing about that. But about a year and a half ago, on the campus of Calvin College, which has been considered for so many years a stronghold for Orthodox Christianity, I would say that I've been aware there's been a great shift there. But it has been startling to see firsthand just how much of a shift has occurred there.
Yeah, and let's talk about that in just a minute. Bill, let's talk about it just for a second, because we are going to come to that whole business of interfaith.
Sure.
But I want to, it's my understanding that you have a candidate for governor who is a Sharia adherent.
Yes, we do. There's an individual that I don't know his name. I wasn't prepared for that question, which is just fine. But I'm certainly am aware of the fact that there is a candidate that's a doctor. A young doctor that is good looking and is very verbal, is very articulate, who is a Muslim, and the quotes that I've been seeing in relationship to him are very, very concerning. It would appear to be that he would be an individual that would be pushing the state of Michigan and our government. It's very difficult to even consider this possibility, but move us in the realm of a Sharia compliance. And so he's articulate. Some have said he's the new Obama. So there's great concern. There are individuals across this country and in the Dearborn area as well that are more and more lifting this very matter up. And I know that Kamal also has awareness of this individual and has expressed concern and support for helping to address this very concern as well.
Yeah, his name is Abdul Al-Sayed, and he is an Egyptian-American doctor. Kamal, what do you know about him?
Well, Abdullah Sayyid, he is not just an Egyptian, but he is a doctor of diseases. So they are strategizing the Muslim Brotherhood. When I say they are, the Muslim Brotherhood has backed him out, you know, and then what we have seen so far, that he has money coming from Qatar, from the state of Qatar, and that is the state that today is standing for terrorism and support the Muslim Brotherhood and supporting many entities of jihad, you know, from Boko Haram, you know, to different things across the nations, you know. But so therefore, he is what they refer to him as the anointed one, and they are going to put hundreds of millions of dollars before him to let him move and shift Michigan. Now he's working through the mosques, and he's moving from mosque to mosque and speaking throughout the United States of America to bring his banner out there, and the Muslim Brotherhood putting him as their champion.
Yes, and to go back to the first point about Michigan, you know, they even call Dearborn Dearbornistan, because if you go there, you feel like you are in a Muslim country, not in America. And there, as I understand, are even no-go zones now. Sir, that's true of a lot of places in the country now, but it's true in Dearborn. So I started this segment with this clip from a demonstration in Dearborn. Bill, what do you know anything about that demonstration?
The only thing I know about that demonstration is that I saw it, and I wasn't sure what that was all about. And so I was so thankful for my close relationship with Kamal. And so the first thing I did was email over to him and say, Kamal, what are they chanting? And so after talking to Kamal, I realized that there was much that was going on there that I was not aware of, but I was hopeful that Kamal would help us, and he can speak with amazing clarity on exactly what was going on there.
Yeah, Kamal, what do we need to know about that? Because that was passed around the internet. It was very frightening. And you saw ahead of what I thought was Jesus beheaded, but I understand through Bill, through you, that that was not. So what was going on in that very loud, frightening demonstration?
This is called the celebration of Ashura. Ashura is the celebration where the Shia celebrate, not the Sunnis, the death of Ali, the caliph under Muhammad, the last caliph, who was married to Muhammad's daughter. And he had two sons they called Hassan and Hussein. Hassan and Hussein, the two sons, were to be, you know, to lead the caliphate. And so what happened, Imam Muawiyah, you know, he is out of Iraq, he commended their killing, and they chopped their head off, and they kicked their head off all the way, you know, to Iraq, where he was there like a soccer ball, you know, and, you know, to shame them. So the Shia, the bloodline of Muhammad, you know, like Akka, Iran, the Iraq, you know, this kind of people versus the Sunni, which is Mecca and Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, you know, all those which is Sunnis. What happened is they had a fight that, you know, in that time, and 80,000 of these people were killed by the Sunnis, you know, by the Muhammad friends, to take the caliphate and take it into the, you know, the Sunni versus the Shia. And they remember that day, and they beat themselves to blood, you know, to be martyrs. You not to forget that day, to celebrate the blood that's been shed, that one day they will take Islam back and establish the Shia as the only leadership in Islam as a caliphate. And this is what was demonstrated that day.
You know, the interesting thing to us, that's pretty complex, you know, Kamal, the bottom line is there are two warring sects within Islam. Of course, when it comes to fighting us, they somehow reach agreement because they agree on the larger issues, but they fight each other. But the scary thing is that would be such an open commemoration in the streets of Dearborn. And secondly, it would be that they would remember after all these centuries, they would still be so impassioned by something. That's something Americans can't even relate to, Kamal. Really?
Yes. This is not just that, but that is really scary, because this is taking Sharia from inside the mosque, putting it outside of the mosque, you know. So now by doing so, the ground become holy, meaning that ground has to be Islamic ground. It cannot be Christian anymore, because there was a blood spill, just like the imam, as you mentioned earlier, when he went to National Cathedral and declared Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, the National Cathedral has to become an Islamic cathedral, you know, become Islamic mosque. So therefore, what happened is when we bring those Shia and Sunni together into the United States of America, we are bringing their issues and their wars and their divides and their blood spilling into our street. Sooner or later, they will clash with one another because they're commended to kill each other just as bad as killing the Jewish people and the Christian people. So therefore, when we bring these people in here into the United States of America, we are birthing those issues in our street, and every place they stand and they pray, just like they prayed in front of the White House when you mentioned that, that ground has to be possessed by Islam. It's no longer Christian. It's no longer American. It's an Islamic ground. And the whole Muslim world will look at this as America has to be an Islamic state.
Kamal, do you have any idea the breakdown of the, or if you just had to guess, of the proportion, at least, of Sunnis versus Shias in this country?
Say it again.
Do you have any idea of the proportion? I know we don't know the numbers, but do you have a sense? Is your sense that there are more Sunni here than Shia? I kind of do because of the Muslim Brotherhood, right?
Well, we had more Shia at the beginning because, Dearborn was a coalition of Shia. This is what the Ford company hired Shia and to work. They came from Yemen. They came from Lebanon. They came from Iran. They came from, all those regions. But under Obama administration, Obama was able to bring more Sunnis, and infiltrate America with unvetted amount of Sunnis from Syria, from Somalia, from Sudan, from Pakistan and Afghanistan, Tajikistan, from all those nations were all Sunnis and flooded America with millions of Sunni refugees.
Well, that's a question I'd actually like to come back to in a minute. But let's pivot to this, because we've talked about the infiltration, and certainly, Kamal, you touched on universities. Does anyone need to be convinced that our universities have been overtaken by Israel-hating, Jewish-hating professors, even if they are not active Islamists, and sympathizers with the Muslim Brotherhood, a perspective on Islam? And does anyone need to be convinced it's happening in our public schools or that it's happening in the media in deeper ways than probably you even knew? And I have already described for you that it has happened in the conservative movement, in leadership in Washington. It has been, that's a battle that I have fought. It's an amazing thing when you even, I have a video of one of the people that infiltrated the Bush White House. Oh, he was appointed. He didn't have to do anything secretly. Saying that he loved life more than he loved death because he was in an Islamic function. His parents were the founders of the Muslim Student Association. And so, but when you try to say and point that out to conservatives, they are mad at you. They're mad at you for pointing that out. How dare you? He's so nice. And I think, Kamal, that's all a part of taqiyya, isn't it?
It is. But here's the thing. I love the Muslims, and I love, I believe that the Muslim, should have salvation. But the Word of God, I believe in the Word of God that he said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge, not because they didn't have it, but because they refused to have it. They refused to learn what the truth is. Today, we are dealing with the influx of, petrodollar coming to the United States of America, through ambassadors and through consulates, and they're flooding our senators, our leaders, our mayors, our governors, and some others. They sit in every state capital to oversway or to shame their enemy right there. Every meeting that I went from state capital, they were there, physically sitting there. But here's the thing. That, our leaders today, they are funded. Many of them are funded with gifts, and many of them have Muslim friends. The Muslims are befriending them on purpose. This is to say, you know me, I'm your best friend, so how could you listen to these people? And the problem is the people don't understand what is radicalism. Even moderates, many of the moderates, that they so-called moderate Muslims, they are using that term specifically to destroy America and open the gates of the United States to infiltration and invasion. So therefore, by doing so, they will allow Sharia to take place. And when Sharia takes place in America, then we cannot stop them anymore because we legalize them.
Oh, my guests are Kamal Saleem, the author of Blood of Lambs, himself a former Muslim jihadist, really, stealth jihadist. And that's the story, The Blood of Lambs. Great story. You'll want to get that book. And then Bill Johnson, American Decency, out of Michigan. And when we come back, now, Bill, we're going to turn back to the interfaith dialogues, because Protestant churches, Christians, are helping advance this notion, cooperating with the stealth in ways they either are, this is not a good setup, they're either too dumb or unwilling to actually come to grips with what's happening to them. We're going to talk about that next, because it's probably happening in churches near you. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
It is a one-of-a-kind project situated on a one-time golf course in Omaha. You might call it a powerful drive to make history on these 35 acres of land.
One would think if it could happen in Omaha, it can happen pretty much everywhere, couldn't it?
It's three houses of worship side by side, a mosque, a synagogue, and a church, the last of which just broke ground.
In a land called Omaha, the Jew, the Muslim, and the Christian stood as one and started a movement that changed the world.
Called the Tri-Faith Initiative, the idea began to take shape after 9/11.
I took a group of members of this congregation, and we went to protect, defend the mosque.
It was an act of goodwill, leading to friendships and a dialogue between Omaha Jews, Muslims, and Christians.
We are here to learn about each other and to live as neighbors with each other without crossing any boundaries or any lines.
When Omaha's Temple Israel made plans to construct its new synagogue, it helped form the initiative, and together, the three faiths decided to become neighbors. The overall project is expected to total more than $65 million. It will include a fourth building, a shared space for interfaith activities and classes to help build trust and understanding. Still, the initiative hasn't been entirely free of controversy. Some Omaha Jews have expressed private concerns about the possibility of the synagogue being targeted by radicals. And the imam concedes that many in his faith remain skeptical.
Right now, they are suspicious. They are hesitant. But very soon they will find out that it's a good idea.
All right. Well, that's Omaha, Nebraska. That was June of this summer. And it's what? The Tri-Faith Initiative. Tri-Faith Initiative. And you, the thing that stunned me about that report just now, you didn't hear about any Christians objecting to this, did you? Should they have? Well, let's talk about that. Bill Johnson of American Decency is with me, along with Kamal Saleem. And Bill, now I'm going to turn to you, because you've seen a lot, I believe, of these interfaith dialogues where you're living in Michigan, right?
Well, it's Sandy, at first I just wanted to say that, you know, the whole matter of educating and informing is obviously so huge. And so the Frank Gaffney, who's on your show every day, has played a huge part in assisting me along the way. And we first heard him at a Value Voter Summit, and it opened our ears and our eyes, and we began then to try to educate people, starting off in the Grand Rapids area with little seminars, and people would show up in large numbers. There was great interest, and on that first meeting that we had, many eyes and hearts and ears were open, and we have seen that over and over again, and we've brought in Kamal a number of times, and it's we feel that this is one of the most important things that people can do in their own individual areas. First of all, get themselves educated, and then begin to educate other people. And there are Christians that are rising up, and yet there's still that lethargy that is out there. But yes, as we started to take this information, we heard of a teach-in that was taking place, a so-called teach-in on the campus of Calvin College on December 3, 2015. And so we went down. It was entitled ISIS, Terrorism, and Refugees. And there were five different professors. And what I noted in my time there was that it was grossly unbalanced. There was one point of view. So here were these students. It was in a chapel, probably 150 people that were there, young people that were there. And so each of these professors began to deal with these subjects, ISIS, terrorism, and refugees. And this was the day after the San Bernardino killings there. And that was never even brought up. The slayings, the killings, the strategy, the civilization, jihad, that aspect was never brought up. And on several occasions at the question and answer period, I stood up and I basically said, my concern is that this is grossly imbalanced. Where's the other point of view? Why can't we bring in somebody from Washington, D.C. or someplace that can come and speak to this from a totally different point of view? And I was basically shut down and told at one point that I was using ad hominem directives or communications, and they weren't allowed, so that I was no longer allowed to speak. Then I tried to myself, Sandy, have a teach-in that was included you last year. We brought Frank Gaffney and you to Calvin College, where you spoke at the Prince Conference Center. And we had a very good turnout, but my efforts were also with Calvin College at the high levels. I had a great contact there, and I was trying to get one of these professors or two to be able to come and to have a true conference, but to be able to bring this expose, and it just didn't happen. But nonetheless, further education did take place. So anyway, then there was an interfaith conference that took place that was sponsored by Kauffman Interfaith Institute, which operates on the campus of Grand Valley State University, and is also involved in also Calvin College is a part of that, Hope College, and also Aquinas College. These are all faith-based, except for Grand Valley. They're involved with this, and the Grand Rapids Press in the religion section every Thursday, they have commentaries, editorials, and so on and so forth that deal with so-called interfaith dialogue that has writers from the Kauffman Interfaith Institute. So it continues to spew out its verbiage, its propaganda, and it is propaganda. So we went to one of these dialogues in June. At Grand Valley State University, and they had a person that was the speaker, and he was speaking on the Islamic Jesus. The Islamic Jesus is what it was entitled, the Islamic Jesus, how the King of the Jews became a prophet of the Muslims. The author of this book came from Turkey. There was a Christian Reformed pastor that was there, and a Jewish leader. And so they also participated to one degree or another. So they had the person speaking in relationship to his book, and it was about what you might expect. It was slanted. It was imbalanced. It wasn't representing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and as the way, the truth, and the life. And so it had this imbalance to it all the way through. The people that were there were basically nodding their heads in agreement. Then they finally went to the question and answer period, and there was actually a person that did come out of Pakistan who probably they thought he might have been a Muslim, who has shown up at these different events that had great knowledge regarding the Islamic faith, but he was a Christian. And so he was speaking about the exclusivity of Christ, and he had a few chances to speak, but then shortly thereafter they shut him down. And the question and answer period was finished at that point. So it finished about 30 minutes earlier than it was scheduled to conclude. And I had I went to the front, and I went down to speak with the Christian Reformed pastor, a young man that was in his 30s. And I went up to him, and I noticed then that there was a professor from Calvin College who Kamal Saleem also has awareness with, because he had an incident with him even several years before. And I came up and I said, well, Dr. Howard. And he said, yes. And he said, well, who are you? And I told him about my my engagement or my incident with Calvin College at the teach-in of just a few months before. And he readily recognized me. And so we had a discussion. I said, you know, my concern is, again, this was not an open exchange of ideas. This was one-sided. And he said, well, that's not true. And I said, no, it is true. I said, note how you shut down this man just minutes before. And I said, could we get together and have a time of discussion and prayer? And he said, no. And this is at Calvin College. He's a Christian. I said, well, you're a Christian, right? And it was like he was affronted at the question. And I said, well, I'm a Christian. In fact, I've been an elder in the Reformed Church in America, and now I'm an elder in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And I said, I'm a Christian. I said, can we just sit down and discuss and pray? He said, no, you're closed, meaning closed-minded. And I said, I don't know of any place in the Bible, Doug Howard, where, you know, where any Christian, when someone asked to have to pray together, was shut down or would not be open to that. And I said, I'm going to ask you again. I said this all nicely. And I said, can we just sit down and try to work these things out and discuss and pray? And he said, no, I already told you that. No.
All right. So
I turned to this pastor, this young man, and I asked him, he was in his 30s, and I asked him, I said, Pastor, can we pray? Can we discuss and pray together? And he said, Doug Howard is a member of my church, and I regard him. It was shut down.
Yeah.
And so
the bottom line is, Bill, that this is what's happening. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear when you try to tell them the truth. So, Kamal, we have to talk about the broad, before we run out of time here. There is a strategy with this as well, is there not, these interfaith meetings?
Absolutely. It's an infiltration. Interfaith is not for the Jews and the Christian, because we are the people of the land. But it is for the Muslim to introduce themselves. If this ideology is so good and it's so effective, how come they have not established it in France, in England, in Germany, in Sweden, where chaos has taken place? On the contrary, you know, it is made for America to sabotage America. There's a book that we have on our, you know, on Kuhn Ministry website. It's called The Star-Spangled Sharia. The Star-Spangled Sharia is the new government, Islamic government, has been established, and they have kicked off a party. It's called Star-Spangled Sharia to establish Islamic governing within the United States of America to affect our institute and our policies, you know, to go after all this and start having candidates to run into the United States government, even the presidency. So when we look at all this, why are they focusing on this, and where is the money coming from? As we look at all this, we see all the money is coming from Qatar. You know, the majority of the money, billions of dollars, has come from the state of Qatar, which is, you know, it's a peninsula outside of Saudi Arabia. But then we found out, you know, there are the globalists are feeding into this, including George Soros, you know, because this is part of the ism, Islamism, socialism, Marxism, fascism. It's the same ism as long as America can be ismized. So therefore, number one is to create a great divide. The great divide has to take place in our, faith-based organization, and then colleges and government, where now the clashes will take place and America will be ineffective. But then we look at the mosques, you know, and we look at the Islamic Jesus. If we study what the Islamic Jesus, we find out that Islamic Jesus, his first initial act is to kill the Jews and Christians, to butcher the pig, which is the Jews, and to break the cross, and calls for holy jihad against all non-Muslims. So when we look at Islam, one-third of Sharia is based on jihad. It's the cornerstone of Islam. But what is jihad, really? Jihad is not just hitting buildings with airplanes. It's how to affect the nation politically, psychologically, by, you know, giving permission to these people to speak and affect our students, affect our culture, to speak with all these people. In fact, if we don't give them that stage, they will never have the power. So we need to know their scheme and their strategy and where their finances come. We need to utterly destroy those finances from them in the United States of America.
Yes.
You know, but
Kamal,
nevertheless.
We're running out of time, so let's do this. With both of you guys, give us some hope here. We have just crammed people full of information. And so, Bill, first to you, what would you admonish? And you do all the time. How would you admonish believers listening? Just in a minute.
I would just say that it's we're dealing with the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. This is not a political. This is not a political matter. This is the very heart and soul of America, with which is we are a Christian-based nation, and there are many people that love the Lord, and they desire that He would be preeminent yet in this nation. And yet there are many lethargic ones. And I would just say that the people that listen to your program, I'm sorry about that, that the people that listen to your program are the very kind of people that can make and are making a difference.
Okay, Bill, I got to jump in because Kamal, 30
seconds.
They need
to bring in people like Kamal Saleem.
Kamal, 30 seconds. Encourage us.
Well, we have an opportunity to learn about the ugly truth, but to learn also about the beautiful truth. The ugly truth is what it is, you know, all the ugly things that take in place. The beautiful truth, it's what God's heart and heart desire, what's on His heart is to really, He wish for none to come to destruction, but everyone to come to repentance.
Amen and amen. Kamal, we're out of time. The Blood of Lambs is Kamal's book. Bill Johnson, American Decency. And this is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.